Brought to you by KSAT 5i and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios at 200 Peachtree in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help you enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Happy Monday morning. Today, I am so excited. In the studio with us this morning, we have Sarah Hawthorne. Sarah is an executive coach, leadership coach, as well as a writer, as well as a person that's out in the media and working things. She's been seen at several seminars. I am just so excited. She has a vast list of credentials and accomplishments. And so, Sarah, take it from there.
Okay. Well, first off, it's just a pleasure to be here today on your radio show. I'm honored to be here. But I actually started my career with Federated Department Stores, and I was a senior level executive and actually worked there for like 26 years, I think. And just 6 years ago, I left my corporate job and actually started my own consulting company, where wow. Today I actually do work as an executive coach, as a corporate consultant, a speaker, and a writer. So just so many great things. I just can't wait to get talking to you with everything.
Wow. Wow. So the 6 years ago, let's start there.
Okay.
What made you 6 years ago go into executive coaching? Was there something that happened during your reign within corporate America that said, this is something that's really needed?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, what happened was after 26 years of really developing talent for the pipeline and really doing coaching even as an executive in Macy's with my team, I sort of realized that I had a bigger message to get out into the world. And so my parents were actually aging at that point in time. And in retail, I don't know if you know, but you work morning, noon, and night. It's a very stressful position. So I actually decided at that point that I was needed in lots of industries and with lots of different leaders. So that's really why I took the big leap. And today, I wouldn't take it back for a minute. It's absolutely the best decision I made in my life.
Wow. I when seeing Sarah's information, she is a contributor sometimes of Huffington Post as well as other media outlets. And I was just so amazed with Sarah's the things that she was saying and her predictable models of leadership or advancement, that I thought my audience would love to hear a lot of what you have to say, especially around the predictable models. Mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit with us about that?
Sure. Well, I actually call it the predictable promotion, and it's my proprietary system. And it really got developed because years ago, early in my career, I was told that I didn't have the personality or the skills to become a leader.
Wow.
And you can imagine getting that information.
Yes.
Right? And so I quickly ran into the ladies' room for a quick cry, pulled myself together, only to realize that there was really no one there to help me. I really hit the wall. And so I jumped into action. I studied. I brainstormed. I mastered. I did every type of leadership skill. I think I took every course possible. And then that's 18 months later, my career actually catapulted to a level that I only had ever dreamed of. So back then, I started realizing that, you know, you have to kind of control your own career destiny. And so that's really when I started working with the predictable promotion. And many of my proteges today are running stores and regions for Macy's department stores. And so really what I do now with individuals and talk to corporate is really about the 10 steps of the predictable promotion system. And it's really just about, you know, all 10 steps are important. It's from everything from your mindset to your attitude, to how you set your goals,
yes,
your executive presence, your brand. I mean, it's really all 10 steps are massively important for to accelerate any career today.
And I really know of a number of women and men that really would need that, have been told the same thing, called in and say, oh, so, and their manager may communicate with them, you just are not polished enough. Mm-hmm. You don't have that polish. I myself was there a long time ago and kind of traveled down the same path that you did and said, let me find out everything I need to know, because I have the feeling that you're a person that bounces back from things and not, you're very resilient and you just don't take it lying down. That's great. You said this about me and let me see how I can fix that. So you're helping with those predictable models to help your clientele get through that whole process. And what else are you finding in the marketplace at this particular time that people are having challenges with that you're having to offer or bring to the table for them?
Well, there's a couple things. First is I would say that they don't really know where they're going. You know, I call it becoming the CEO of your career destiny. You know, there's no sense in creating a personal brand or working on any type of leadership skills if you don't know where you're going. So I call it really, it's kind of getting that roadmap together on, you know, thinking big about the bigger picture. The second thing I think is that there's so much negativity out in the world today that, you know, the news and the media, that the second step is called, you know, master the winning mindset or master the positive attitude. And there it's really about, I talk about how do you take your setbacks and turn them into your empowering assets.
Setbacks into empowering assets. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we've all had those situations happen in our lives, right? Personal and professional. And I say, you know, you don't want anything to happen, but life does. And when it's landed at your doorstep, you know, figure out what lessons can you learn from it that can really help you leverage your strengths in the marketplace today.
Wow, that is great. That is great. Well, what about moving? Now, there are a number of people, especially in their mid-40s to late early 50s, that are having a challenge with saying they're finding that opportunity. So they may have gone from, let me back up. On the news yesterday, I was watching CNN, and I noticed that there were a number of people saying, there was a documentary on, rather, people out in the suburbs, individuals in one particular suburb that had completed, were working, and now they've gone from upper middle class to, I would say, not understanding which class they're in at this particular moment, but they know they're not at the same spot. And they talk a lot about their work being part of who they are, their personality, their connections with another. And once that work ended, not only did their monetary challenges come into play, but also their social network began to falter. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a wonderful question, because I know that that's happening to many people today. So I think, you know, I call that really the three V's. And so what I say in the three V's is you've got to be visible today. You know, you've got to continue to be online or redoing your resume. And, you know, people Google people today at the touch of a button, you know, whether they're looking for work or they're looking to bring you on as a board member to a committee or asking you to join their philanthropy organization or whatever. It's really about being visible. So that's one of the things in the three V's. The second is to be vocal. You know, are you out there communicating your message and what you're here to contribute to the world? Are you being of service? Do people know what you're doing?
And I'm loving it. Continue
and,
on.
Yeah. And the third I say is the three V's is value. You know, what do you bring to the table? You know, we all have these gifts that we were given and talents and things that make us so unique, but people sometimes haven't really done the inner work to really unearth what they're here to do. So it's really their value, with their value that they bring to the organization or to the world, but it's also the legacy. You know, what's their signature imprint that they're going to leave on the world?
Three V's plus L.
Yeah. I didn't think about the L, but
it's the lifeline.
Yes.
Yes. That's great. Well, moving along, let's go back to your time as a senior level leader in a Fortune 100 organization. At Macy's, what were some of the things that you noticed that are still prevalent today with members that are moving into management level positions?
The biggest thing that I think is really what I call executive presence. You know, presence is that thing, it's hard to put your finger on, but it's really how someone looks, it's how they think, It's the actions they take. It's their body language. It's their verbal communication skills. And sometimes I think organizations are looking for, how do you polish someone? You know, maybe they have all the technical skills. Maybe they work morning, noon, and night. Maybe they know there's some of their gifts, but they sort of need some professional polish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I found that at Macy's, and I still find that today in many organizations that call me, when either someone's on the top talent list and the HR person will say, you know, I just don't know how to talk about it, but it's, and I can kind of tell, you know, reading between the words and the lines, that they're talking about presence. You know, they don't have that polished presence to talk with the CEO or to lead a team or to go out and represent the organization in a positive light. So I think that...
Are there things that you notice, not only in the training, but other areas? You spoke earlier about philanthropy, and we spoke about that in last week's show, a lot about philanthropy. And I'm interested to see, do you think that one, when they're doing maybe... participating in a nonprofit or serving on a board or something of that nature, they can also gain maybe some valuable experiences along with the training that is being provided by coaches such as yourself?
Absolutely. And I even tell people that when you are downsized, get on a committee, volunteer.
Say that again, Sarah.
When you're downsized or right-sized, whatever you want to call it today, get your butt in action.
Yes.
Go out, volunteer to be on a committee. You know, work to do something. Again, you're still being of service. And you know what? It actually fills in those blank lines on the resume, because no one wants to see that you've not done anything. But I wanted to make sure that everybody listening today knows that. So you are working, you're just not getting paid for working. But I think it's personal and professional growth. You know, anytime you volunteer, and I know that I've done the American Cancer Society fashion show and just so many things here in Atlanta. And I know that when I walk away, you know, I know that I made an impact, and I know that, you know, it's the ripple effect. How do you just affect one person and give them that feeling of pride and confidence to walk on the runway, even though you've had chemotherapy, you know?
Yes.
But it's, I can tell you, it's a transformational change.
Wow.
And that's powerful. So
it,
you know,
is,
it, it's,
yeah.
It's sad if someone isn't taking advantage of that.
Yes, I would. I totally agree with you, Sarah. I would even take that a step farther. I think a lot of times we see things coming, but we say, oh, that's not going to happen to me. And if we're really into our industry and studying where that industry is going, and that goes back to what you were saying about knowing your value, that's why I think it's extremely important to have that coaching why things are great, because otherwise, you're in a reactive mode when things are not going as well. And plus, you may not have as much monetary resources, as many monetary resources as needed in order to help there. So investing in you early on is extremely important for individuals. And I want them to understand that. A lot of people may say that I've invested in my education. I've invested in the clothing I buy. I've invested in some of the other things, how I look. But a lot of times it's investing in that whole 360 of you, that persona, that branding, the value that you bring, and how to articulate that value to someone else so that they understand who you are and where you're going. And I think that a number of our listeners, as well as people outside of our listening audience, have a challenge with that. So I really do promote doing something early on before there's an opportunity, before the opportunity is presented to you to have to do something. So be proactive instead of reactive, because when you're reactive, it takes a longer time to get yourself back on, your grounding back together. For example, there was a individual that I spoke with last night who was high in their game when things were going well. But as things were changing, they did not notice things that they should have noticed, even though it was communicated to them that this market is changing. And they happen to be in the world of HR. And HR, we know that in HR, if we were reading, it talked more about how the HR consultant could bring value to the particular lines of business they service as a partner, instead of been an HR partner that kind of talked about how do you keep yourselves out of trouble? So it was a blending effect that was needed. And how do you make that happen? So a person that's there commanding information or relaying information more so about how you go about staying out of trouble is different than one that is working with you as a consultant. And it goes back to what you stated earlier about your presence. As a consultant, I need more of an executive presence because those are the individuals that I'm more so dealing with at that time. So how do I change that? And I don't think that a lot of the friends that I have in HR really looked at that as a consultant and having that executive presence now rather than being the operational person who sat in the background, researched some information, and then provided that information on to their partner. So that change happened to have a dramatic effect on them. And now they've found themselves out of the market from a full-time basis for more than 5 years. And it's devastating. Mm-hmm. So in those particular situations, have you come across?
Yes, and especially in HR, I think, as you mentioned, you know, it's now you need to be more of a strategic partner than a technical partner. Mm-hmm. And again, that's about presence. That's about understanding the big picture. That's about, you know, knowing how to communicate, not just about your department, but breaking down silos. How are you, you know, really helping the entire organization and being a strategic business partner with the CEO and upper level management? So, you know, that's why I said, you know, that presence goes back to understanding, you know, how do you communicate your value? Who is your target audience, especially if you've been out of work for a period of time, what you're suggesting, perhaps with this person. I take it they were out of work for a little bit of time. Yeah. So, you know, they're trying to come back into the market and, you know, organizations have gone through change and there's the new buzzwords.
Yes.
And, you know, it's still about, though, finding out, you know, what makes you unique. You know, you do bring something to the table, mm-hmm. but you might have to sort of refine it. And you got to stay on top of emerging trends in corporate today. That's the other thing, because you can't have presence if you're not on top of the emerging trends.
Yes, I totally agree with you on the emerging trends. And even moving to another individual that I spoke with last week, and they were talking about, they were just a young person coming out of college. And they said, Dr. Carroll, would you look at my resume for me? And I did. And I looked at the resume and this happens every time. I look at the resume, and in colleges and universities, we have to do a better job. They have education first, like that's the most important thing. No one cares necessarily about your education. What we care about is what you can bring to the table and do for us. So you got to put that out front and center. Gone are the days when education may have been the riding force,
right,
that established if I'm going to hire you or not. What establishes whether I'm going to hire you, whether I can have you bring you in and you're going to add value immediately to my bottom line, is what have you done? Going back to, again, mm-hmm. something you've already discussed here, that branding, those three things, value, visibility, things that you talked about earlier. How do people make that happen?
I think that, you know, and you're absolutely right with the resumes. I think, you know, the first thing on your resume needs to be a brand statement about, you know, what do you bring to the table? But also, I think on resumes, the thing I see missing is people don't allow people to see who they are as a person. And our brand is multidimensional. I mean, our image is multidimensional. And you know, putting down what you like to do, some passions, you know, things, hobbies, things, it gives the company a glimpse into who you are as a person. You know, they just don't want an employee today. They want a leader. They want somebody who can bring all of their skill sets and passions to the table. You know, and if they're passionate about something, organizations see that of huge value because you can be on a committee. You can lead their, you know, Macy's, it used to be called Partners in Time, you know,
yes.
our philanthropic thing. You know, you can really help the organization in lots of different ways of being valuable. Obviously, the position is the most crucial, but again, you know, many other ways. So I think it's about a brand statement. I think it's about, you know, taking a 360 or asking some some people around you, trusted people who will give you honest feedback. You know, what are my gifts and talents? What are those things that I do like no one else can? And you're right, credentials, you know, they're nice, but they're not everything. In fact, sometimes past experiences and lessons you've learned and things like that add to your uniqueness more than, you know, I got an MBA at XYZ school, you know.
So. Right, right. Well, I'm going to do something a little different here. Tell me, or share with our audience, what value that, for example, that you've had from some of the clients. How did they look before, and then how did they look after coming? And it's okay to brag, okay?
Yeah.
We need to know. How did they look before, and how did they look after coming into your coaching session? So give us a quick example.
One example was an individual, and he really had not ever heard of a personal brand. And he was sort of caught up, and he didn't know where he was going, didn't know what he wanted to do. And so we really sort of worked to define, again, some inner work of, you know, what are you passionate about? What is your brand? And so he actually came up with, you know, a brand statement that really said, you know, I want to build communities, mm-hmm. and I want to help people in different income levels and whatever, not just working in the commercial real estate business. And so it really went a lot deeper to his legacy that he wanted to leave. And, you know, he really became fearless through all of this. And, you know, he said to me, you know, Sarah, it doesn't matter what happens to me now. Even if I get downsized, right-sized, I know what I'm on this world to do. I know my gifts. It doesn't matter. You know, I will find my way. I trust. And, you know, it's about that inner compass. He's got that inner compass now that he's going to trust, and he's going to have the confidence within himself to know that he's going to get where he's wanting to go. And it's all through that legacy and brand that he created. I didn't create it. I helped him sort of map it out. Mm-hmm. And, a great coach stretches you, you know, beyond your limitations. You know, it's sort of like when you go to the personal trainer and you think, I can't do five more of these reps, but somehow you can. You know, a great coach helps you see things through a different lens. And that's really what I helped him to do. And he said, you know, today it pays multiple dividends in my personal life as well as my professional life.
So on target. And many times I've said the same things to people, what he learned from that. When you know where you're going and mm-hmm. what you're about, you're not afraid to step out. You're not afraid of someone coming into your office and saying, today this ends.
Right.
It's been great. As a matter of fact, you know that within a certain amount of days,
right.
that's going to happen.
Right.
And so you're already prepared to take that next journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that any of us, through faith or through hope or through optimism, have the necessary skill sets to make that thing happen for us that needs to happen. But we first have to see the vision of who we are and where we're going and what we're capable of doing, and then take that on. Sarah, would you like to leave our audience with how they would get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, you can call me at 678-528-1239. And I also have a free CD for anyone who would like to get my free CD. You just go to bulletproofyourcareernow.com, and I'll be glad to ship that free CD right out to you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we close out this morning?
I also have a blog and numerous articles on my website, too. I'm really one of sharing. So you can get that at illustraconsulting.com. But it's just been delightful being here with you. I know that I've just enjoyed this conversation so much. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. And as we close out today, I just want to say this has been a joy to have Sarah here, a woman that speaks from where I'm very passionate about. It was so nice in our conversation before the show this morning around the whole aspect of positivity and how positivity really impacts the way you see yourself, what's next, how you come across and you go through obstacles in life, and you see them as opportunities rather than the obstacles that many may see them as. So if you're out there in our audience, please take a moment, and if you could use Sarah's help, please connect with Sarah. She's provided a lot of information there, and we will also provide that information on our website. This is something, again, from an educational and theoretical standpoint, Sarah's message makes sense. I have investigated a lot of the stuff that Sarah has out there before coming on the show, as I do with many of the individuals that come on the show. I go through and I really stand behind a lot of the things that we talk about on the show, as well as the individuals we have speaking, our guests. So with that said, you guys have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And remember, positivity is the way to go.
This has been a joint production of KSAP 5i and Business Radio X. For more information about KSAP 5i, please visit ksap5i.com. That's KSAP5i.com.